Hello and welcome to the Building Tech Teams podcast from Venturi's Voice. I'm your host, Andy Davis. In this show, I'll be chatting to hiring experts from all sectors about their careers in tech. The show aims to bring you insights, anecdotes, and stories from like-minded professionals that you can learn from and apply to your own career. If you like the show and you want to hear more from us, you can follow us via SoundCloud, iTunes, or Spotify, or join us on Slack. Thank you and enjoy the show. All right, we've got Chris Brown here. He is the VP of People and Culture at Zenjob. Absolute pleasure, Chris. Thanks so much for taking the time, mate.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the invitation. Very happy to be able to have the time to chat to you today.
Yeah, we're slacking on the formalities with regards to the pronunciation of words, because as fellow Northerners, that's what people do. So obviously, if no one understands this, we will try and translate for those that don't get it. We were joking before because Chris is over in Berlin, has been there for a while now, and I was asking him whether it was a thing that people actually picked up German accents, but apparently it's not, unless you're who was the person who picked up the.
That would be Steve McLaren, famous video on YouTube from his time in the Netherlands. Well worth a watch.
So unless you're Steve McLaren, you're pretty safe. So yeah, absolute pleasure, and yeah, really interesting as well to get your perspective today, Chris. So I'm very much looking forward to it. Berlin's like a particularly interesting place to me. I think that it's outside of kind of, you know, the US and perhaps like London, it seems like it's really booming from a tech perspective, and it's got to be an exciting place to be.
Yeah, I mean, I can talk about my own experience here from being here since 2012 and just seeing how everything shifted. I mean, the whole tech startup scene has changed massively. There's some really big players here in the market now. There's Zalando, who are a very big employer in Berlin. I think every one out of two new buildings that you see going up in Berlin is related to Zalando.
Jeez.
And yeah, I mean, if you come in here, it's a really great place to have a career and to try something out new and get some new experiences, basically.
Yeah. How did you kind of, because you pretty much had your whole career in Berlin, right? If I'm not wrong, how did you kind of decide that that's a place that you wanted to visit? You must have been ahead of the curve.
Yeah, I was also ahead of the curve on leaving the UK before Brexit as well. But the driving reason for it really was because my wife's originally from southeast of here, about an hour southeast. And we talked about moving for a long time, and we'd never really had that thing that was pushing us out of our comfort zone to do it. And then when my boy was born in 2011, we kind of took the decision then, like, let's just move. We'll risk it. We'll see how things get on. If it doesn't work out, we can go back. I'm sure we'll find jobs again and everything else. And thankfully, things worked out. But it wasn't straightforward. I interviewed for another company, Vooga, another startup. Came out, did the interview. Didn't actually get that job, but what I did get was some very good experience interviewing, because it was completely different from the environment I came from, where I was working at Manchester Business School, and everything's very MBA orientated there. So the terminology, the lingo, how you create cover letters, your applications, was in fairness a little bit stiff, but yeah, like I said, I had a really good experience from learnings from Vooga, and then when I applied for the position at SoundCloud, actually that also wasn't without its obstacles to get over, because I was actually rejected the first time because I'd hired one of my future colleagues, and then it was someone else from the company who saw me on LinkedIn and got in touch, and then I got an interview. Was able to go and talk about the things that I was passionate about and what I wanted to do, and then that all worked out.
Fantastic.
For the good.
Yeah, and you mentioned in like some of your notes as well. I mean, SoundCloud was must have been a great place to be. I know they've had kind of some, I don't know whether it's troubles or something's happened recently, haven't they? Where they've kind of lost a lot of employees, but at the time, like, it must have been fascinating. And I know we've had Noah on the show as well, who used to be at SoundCloud, yeah, and then N26. So yeah, I mean, I've had a bit of an insight from her, and it was just sounds like a fascinating place to have worked. And in your notes, you mentioned about kind of modernizing the team at SoundCloud. Like, I just wondered like what you kind of meant by that more specifically.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. SoundCloud was a phenomenal experience, not just for myself. I think for a lot of the people who were there, it had something, and still does have something very special about it. Something special about the product and the kind of people that it attracts. The more creative people, very international set of people who work there as well, very passionate bunch of people who work there. When I joined the team, I think it was like a junior recruiter position, which is where I really cut my teeth into the people space. We were just setting out on modernizing all this transformation of the team from a classic like HR recruiting team into more of a people team. And the opportunities that we had there as a team to be able to work on deeper and more meaningful topics actually made a difference around how we were hiring people, how we were setting up the recruiting process, how we're then evolving around focus on diversity, unconscious bias, everything to do with the actual setup of the people team, and then the evolution from there. If I look back at all of the experiences that I've had, like SoundCloud is definitely one of the experiences that really helped shape me and how I think about working in the people space.
Yeah, it's such a fascinating one to me, because of I think it's one of the areas that has really seen, you know, a major transformation. And it seems to me, you know, we have a decent perspective really on the market, and the take that I'm getting is that people are just taking it more seriously and looking at things from a more meaningful perspective. And, you know, I think now we're able to sort of more quantify and attribute these extra efforts to, you know, underlining success. Relatively speaking, it seems to me like it's been kind of a new thing. I just wonder, you know, even in, you know, since, say, you know, you joined SoundCloud in, what was it, 2011, something like that? And like
2012, yeah.
2012. I wondered like how much change you've seen and whether you feel as though, you know, I mean, sometimes it's hard to gain like a macro perspective on things, but just wonder what your kind of opinion is on that, and whether you think even since that point, you're seeing the masses like really take it more seriously because perhaps they're able to kind of quantify, you know, what these efforts are yielding for businesses.
Yeah. People have had to take it more seriously because just the sheer amount of, I mean, if you look at Berlin, you're talking about before how attractive it is for companies to be and to attract talent, because it's in a central place in Europe. You can get about very easily. It's very international. And companies, I think, have gone through, and in some instances, a hard learning that if they're not out there and they're not actually doing things differently or really putting the attention on the great experiences and focusing on the things that matter to the people, then that's actually when you're losing out. And it's not just a case of, you know, offering the top salaries or offering the top this and top that. It really needs to be a lot more thoughtful in the approach that companies are taking. And that would be one of the biggest changes that I've seen, is it people have really had to up the game.
I think so. Well, yeah, you think the approach is perhaps even more from just pure necessity? Or do you think that it runs deeper than that, and there is like people are now being analytical and seeing that if you behave in this manner or if you encourage like a stronger culture, it will ultimately, you know, impact the bottom line, whatever that might be?
Yeah, I mean, it is about impacting the bottom line. I mean, you don't just want to create an organization that is a fun place for people to work, but it doesn't actually generate any revenue or any value for the customer.
Yeah.
So it is about making sure that you have that balance. And there's a whole host of things as well that I think have happened during this time. I don't know exactly when platforms like Glassdoor came out, but what employees have also got to be mindful of is their image that they have and how they're perceived in the market as well. So, well, I do think that there's a certain amount of companies who are doing it because of reasons like that. I think also I see more effort or more intrinsic desire from companies that they actually care, that there's more of that caring going back to to the people, not just doing it for the sake of face value, but actually doing it because, you know, there's so much research out there, and I think it's proven time and time again, you take care of your people and your people will then take care of your customers. And if you've got happy customers, you're going to have a successful business, and then you should have happy people.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I wanted to ask you a little bit about like the N26 experience, not necessarily just because of N26. And I actually do have their card, by the way. I got sold to about the metal card. It just looked too cool not to have. But more specifically, like dealing with these kind of situations in hypergrowth, to kind of follow on from what we were just talking about, you know, I think it's like in a calm, structured environment, like these things tend to seem like that makes sense and it's realistic. But when, you know, the pressure's on to really, you know, go into hypergrowth mode, it must be, I mean, I have no idea, but I'm just guessing, it must be extremely difficult to kind of stay disciplined with the kind of people you want to hire, the hard yeses and nos, when you've got such a, you know, a heavy target on your head, you know, as far as like headcount growth. Does it make it harder? Or are there other things that perhaps are more challenging in that environment?
I mean, so if you're thinking about hyper growth and going from an organization like SoundCloud, where it was more or less like steady growth, and thinking about all the different factors that you then have to change your way of approaching and thinking about, and it's almost like some things then do have to be sacrificed or not given as much attention as you would normally give, just because of the sheer volume of work that you're having to deal with, manage, and foresee, the pace that you're working at. And also working in somewhere like N26 also requires you to think about things very differently. I mean, you're working for a bank, and a bank is regulated, rightly so, very heavily, and it's not like in a different startup environment where you've got a bit more flexibility and a bit more freedom to be creative in what you're doing. On the flip side of that, though, it actually forces you to think differently and to be a bit more creative about what you're doing. But in that environment, it's definitely about delivery.
Absolutely. Yeah. And how did you, how do you kind of, kind of gain your sanity in that environment?
It's a good question, that. I mean, things are moving at such a quick pace. There was always something that... it was actually one of the more interesting experiences that I've had, because it was a complete different way of working for me. It was way quicker, definitely more pressure about on the delivery side of things. I guess you get your sanity when you're able to just walk away from something and focus on your own personal things for a bit. But like, honestly, when you're in that environment, it was difficult to switch off sometimes, because things are moving at such a quick pace and you do have multiple plates spinning or balls in the air at one time. So, yeah, I think working in that hypergrowth space as well, you need to be a certain kind of character who thrives on that kind of pressure and loves working at that kind of pace.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, that's a big startup, obviously, but I think startups in general, you know, they certainly yield a certain type of character that I think is only appropriate for that kind of environment. I think that just is what it is, isn't it?
I think it's really important for people to be aware and also feel comfortable about the fact that not every organization is suitable for everybody.
Yeah.
And there's things that people need to think about as well. It's just like, do you want to work for a company that isn't that well known but has a really strong culture, sense of pride about what they're doing, you know, like real authenticity about what they're doing? Do you want to work for a company which has a really fascinating innovative product, but the environment is going to be something new and going to be something really challenging? So the lesson or the message really for people is, you know, and like, a company isn't for everybody, and also don't feel bad about that if it doesn't suit you or it doesn't work out for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's the... Do you think that people have generally have like a good... it could be brutal on this one, I suppose, but do you think people generally have like a good sense of self and like actually, a good like self-awareness about probably whether this realistically is or isn't? Or do you kind of, you know, it's an interesting time, isn't it, where now it's all of a sudden it's sexy and desirable to work for, you know, a startup and you get everyone kind of wants to do it now. So does that mean that you do get people who, there's elements of frustration, I suppose, because they probably have experience, etc., but it's just, yeah, it's not for you, this kind of environment. And, yeah, how difficult is it to make those calls, I suppose?
From a candidate's perspective?
Yeah. Well, from your perspective, when you have to determine whether this is or isn't a right fit for it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that really goes down to the hiring process that you have and making sure that actually what you're assessing for is basically true about how your organization works in reality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very easy to talk about how you do this and everything about X, Y, or Z. In actual fact, if that's not the case, you can hire someone really quick, get them in, they look amazing on paper, but actually in your organization, there needs to be a specific amount of or degree of flexibility in how you work, or dealing with a certain amount of ambiguity, or dealing with a certain amount of changing priorities, which I think is a lot, rings true of a lot of startups. Mm-hmm. So the number one thing, priority as an organization, is about making sure that you are really assessing for attributes as well as, you know, soft skills, technical skills that are going to make that person successful in their job. And make the best use of everybody's time. Like I say, you can hire people quickly, which is fine, but also if they're not a good fit for your company, then that's not going to work out too well, and then you're going to go back to the drawing board and start hiring again. So the hiring process is absolutely key. I mean, no matter what organization you're in, you need to be assessing for the things that are true of your organization.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What I think is fascinating as well about like the work that you do is just internally, like how much exposure you get to so many teams. And I'm sure that that's only like increased, you know. I know that like part of the process from what I understand is kind of, you know, it, when you're building out the process, it's, you know, there's things like branding and, you know, like visibility, you know, there's technical work, I'm sure, that goes into it. You know, there's so much now that you have to collaborate with internally. What was kind of some of the biggest surprises, I suppose, as you progress through your career, with just kind of the people that you're collaborating with that I suppose you thought, well, I would never have expected to work so closely with people like that, you know? And is that a constant surprise to you, that element of it?
Yeah, it's I'm laughing because it's something that even more so in my current role, about just the scope and breadth of what I'm doing is pretty mind-bending at times.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at Norma in her role while we're at SoundCloud and just thinking, like, how do you keep all that in your head? Like, how do you keep on top of all of this from just what I was observing? And it's the same, even if you're in recruiting, even if you're in some kind of people operations, people support role, or in your org or people development, like the intricacies of what you're dealing with is really phenomenal, and it's so interesting. Everything to do with working in a people team and the various interactions that you have, the complexities that you're dealing with, the way you have to change your way of thinking about things, and really putting yourself in the shoes of your hiring manager, employees that you're designing something for, is key to making sure also that what you're working on is a success. But like, really, I think if anybody's looking for a career that is just changes on a daily basis and will constantly keep you on your toes, and you'd think you'd be hard pressed to find a different one than working in this space. It really is. Like, such an exciting time, actually, to be working in this space as well, because you see such a shift now, going back to what we were talking about earlier around, like, this necessity of making sure that as an organization you're doing the right things for your people. There's just a shift from how we approach hiring, talent acquisition, or however you want to call it, employee experience. There's everything to do with people analytics. It really is such a fascinating industry to be in. Actually, one of the big shifts that I've seen, just I'm still talking about this topic before I go off on too much of a tangent, is what's, I don't know, like, heartwarming or really great to see is actually the whole community of HR or people's professionals now. That was something that came up when I was working at SoundCloud, which was the HR OS, which is a HR open source, which I stumbled across, and then I actually wrote an article about the experience of building out people analytics at SoundCloud. So all of the various groups that are now out there, all the different Slack channels, the community that's there now that also supports existing people in this area, but also wants to give back to people coming up, is really, like, heartwarming to see. Can't recommend it enough.
Yeah, it's awesome, mate. And like I said, it's probably something that I'm sure even, you know, yourself just didn't expect. But what do you think, you know, from that? I'm always curious to ask this, but what kind of hidden talents that you've had to kind of utilize, were you surprised that, you know, you were particularly good at?
I would say that one thing that constantly came up, this was when we were going through, like, launching all these development cycles and going through these feedback sessions that we've done over the course of my career, was there was always this feedback of, oh, you need to talk up more, you need to be more vocal in meetings, or things around, oh, you're so calm about this particular thing. And I would say, actually, those are the things that in certain industries or roles would go against you, but actually the more that I've developed in my career, the more those things are appreciated. So I think I do talk up a lot more now, but I'm also not somebody who talks for the sake of talking, and that's a very important skill to have when you're dealing with people. You want to be listening, not just talking to people. And also the calmness about things, that's something that's appreciated by people. I've had various situations where it's been tough situations. I can go back to the SoundCloud instance where we had to lay off a large number of people, or other instances that we've been through, and that's what people are looking for in those situations, those tough situations where they want to look for people. Your team are looking for you for being calm and collected, and those are two things, actually, I think, that have really come through or shone through and have been invaluable to me.
Awesome, mate. Really cool to hear that. Obviously, it's Zenjob now. How's things going? I know you were saying that, you know, there's been a kind of big. Obviously, I don't mean to pry, by the way. I'm not. You don't have to give away all your secrets. But just curious about how that's things going. I know you were saying there's, like, a whole kind of whole team strategy piece that was that you've been working on. Almost seems like. It's been compelling to see, I suppose, to hear your career step, because it seems like there's always been kind of a different challenge everywhere you've gone. And has this been kind of unique in that sense?
This has been a completely different experience than the other two positions I've had while I've been in Berlin, which is, it's been more or less starting from the beginning or from the basics of what a people team or people and culture team looks like, or as it was previously called, the HR team. And coming into this environment from a really fast-paced environment like N26, where things are just constantly moving, or somewhere from SoundCloud where things are well established and there's a very strong culture there and processes in place around things like development and feedback. And so coming in here where it's literally going back to the basics, where we had our feedback forms and they were on paper. Conversations would happen with the manager, the conversations would be filled out, they would be, papers would be dropped off with HR when they were done. And then to the best of my knowledge, they would stay on file. And I'm not actually sure if anything was done from there. And so when I was going through the process of having a conversation with the founders of the company, I was really impressed by their genuine focus on people and building an organization that really puts a focus on people and building a healthy, sustainable organization, genuinely. And also their willingness and their openness to kind of embrace me coming in and helping them, educating them, how we're going to talk about it, improve the way that we're supporting our people. So it has been a lot of doing things from scratch. I mean, I've been here now for, I think, 9 months. And in that time, we've looked at the problem areas that we had, and then we've put in solutions to address this. So we changed up our HR tool to one which is a bit more modern, that gives us better insights into the data, that also allows us to digitize our feedback process in a way that we can manage it and keep on top of things and not just let things slip through the cracks.
Yeah.
When I joined, we had a list of jobs on a website. Now we've got a career site. We've just launched our new employer brand video. All of these things that have been a fantastic opportunity to be involved with, and to really, as I've been saying since I've been here, we almost relaying the foundations of a modern people team, HR team, however you want to address it. And this is it's probably a 2-year project that we're going through here at the minute, which is putting all the basics in place to help us make sure that we're addressing the bigger problems now. We're focusing on supporting our people, development conversations, promotion cycles, proper levels of job structures. And those are the opportunities that I came for, and those are the things that I'm now, or we, not just me, me, myself and the team are starting to have the opportunity to put into place, and we're starting to see the benefits with our people. Not that it's going smoothly, as things never do. There's everything to do with people, always different layers of complexities that we have to deal with. So there's a lot of back and forth, continuous support in what we need to do, ensure that we're focusing the right amount of attention on the right people to build their confidence and to get them embedding the processes that we're introducing. But the whole opportunity of joining Zendjob has just been phenomenal so far.
Amazing, mate.
What an experience. And clearly, Berlin's the answer by everything we've spoken about.
Before I moved to Berlin, one of my wishes was to be able to cycle to work every day, and at least that has also now been ticked off. I cycle to work every day. We moved here as well for the quality of life for the family. I have 2 kids. I had 1 when we came. We've now got 2. I see us being able to do the things that we never really were able to do in the UK, to have more of that focus on the family life, to have more of that focus on the things outside of work as well. And absolutely no complaints.
Awesome, mate. Well, Chris, it's been an absolute pleasure, mate. I can't thank you enough for taking the time. Great fun. Hopefully we'll get you a chance to sync up and do something similar again.
Thanks for listening to the show. I look forward to hearing everyone's thoughts on this episode over on the Venturi's Voice Slack group. See you next time.